Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter 33. Amen. Glad I'm on the winning side, aren't you? Amen. Placed there by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By the hand of God in mercy. Amen. Amen. Well, we're thankful to the Lord for His blessings and able to gather in here on this Sunday morning and read the scriptures, study the Bible together. Amen. The thought I've got is a simple thought this morning, but I hope that it'll be helpful to us and a blessing. I've got quite a little bit of reading that I'll do, and then my message, I'll get to it and try not to be real long, but do as God would give us liberty to do. Look at verse number 9 of Exodus chapter 33, probably a very familiar text to you in your Bible reading. By the way, here we are heading down towards the end of the year. And I don't know if you make New Year's resolutions or not. I'm not necessarily encouraging that, although I think you ought to have some kind of a goal that you're working towards. But for example, in Bible reading, I had a family member recently told me that in this COVID situation, because of health problems, other problems, they said they have read their Bible the least this year they believe they've ever read it. Then another family member told me that because of COVID shutdown, they've read their Bible more than they've ever read it. And I'd encourage that. Amen. Matter of fact, my dad, he said if by the end of the year he will have read his Bible through twice this year, plus his New Testament, he's read through 12 times this year, once a month. And that's doing some reading. Amen. But I encourage you to make a plan to read your Bible. And if you didn't get it done this year, make a plan to do it next year. Amen. Do your best to get that done as we come to the end of the year. It's a good opportunity to make those plans. And you say, well, what good would it do me? It'd probably do you more good than you think. Amen. I'm sure it'd do you more good than some other things you might read. Amen. And I encourage you to do that. All right. Exodus chapter number 33, verse number 9. The Bible says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. By the way, there's a good blessing. We need some young men that's going to stay with the stuff. Amen. When it's time for us, the older men, to turn and depart, some young men to stay with the tabernacle. Amen. To stay with the things of God. Joshua was that young man. Look at verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Amen. If God's with you, you'd be a separate people. Amen. Verse number 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Look at verse 18. That's really where I want to deal with. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence. Thank you for this text.
Yes.
That brings back so many memories to my heart. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this word and this text to speak to me years ago. Give me direction for my life.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. And you can be seated. Appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as I said, I know this is probably a familiar text to you, and I probably need to do some background to bring you up to where we're at, as you more than likely know. But I'm going to deal specifically verse 18 and then the verses following, but verse 18, where he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." I want to preach this morning on this thought, a view of God's glory. A view of God's glory. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if God give us just a view this morning? Just a view of His glory. Amen. And I pray that He will. But in this text that we're dealing with, Moses is not on the mountain with God. Moses is in a dark valley at the moment. He's not on shouting ground with God. They're under the judgment of God when these statements are made. Matter of fact, you know the story that Moses has went up on Mount Sinai. He's met with God. Chapters 24 through 32. He's been there for 40 days. Got the commandments and he's written those. God wrote them with his own finger and put them on the tablets of stone. Gave them to Moses as he came down with what we know as the Ten Commandments. And while Moses is up there communing with God, Joshua's with him, by the way, and, of course, at a distance from him. And as they're in that mountain together, down in Israel, some things are going on that shouldn't be going on. The people of Israel start wondering about Moses, and they start wandering away from God because the man of God's gone for a season. And they say, "As for this Moses, we know not whence he is." They don't know where he's at, they say. They do know where he's at. They do know what he's doing. But their heart goes to lusting after other gods. They're not communing with God like Moses did. By the way, they'd made the statement, "Don't let God speak to us. Let God speak to Moses and Moses speak to us." And so they have rejected, in a sense, symbolically at least, they have rejected God speaking to them. And so their heart goes looking after other gods. And by the way, that's exactly what Paul said would happen. When you turn your ears from the truth, you will be turned unto fables. And you'll believe all kinds of lies and foolishness. And, amen. And demonic things that'll come into people's mind. Because they've turned their mind and their heart and their ear away from God. Amen. So Israel got to lusted after other gods. And they got Aaron and they said, "Get up and make us a golden calf." And so Aaron took their jewelry and you know the story. And he said he threw it in the fire and a calf jumped out. Amen. And of course you know that he took a graven image, the Bible said, and a graven tool. And he made an image and he made a molten image. And so he took their gold and their precious things there and made a false god, a fake god out of it. And they began to worship that image and they began to dance around that image. And the Bible said they were dancing naked. They were in their nakedness and their lewdness as they went around that image. And again, when people go away from God, you just mark her down, they start taking off clothes. It happens. It happens over and over and over again. Amen. And I don't have time to deal with the clothesline issue this morning exactly in particular, but it's just an obvious thing. But then Moses comes down from the mountain and Moses was angry. And you remember the story that Joshua thought it was the noise of war. Moses said, "I hear something." And Joshua says, "It's the noise of war." And Moses said, "No, it's not war that I hear, but it's dancing. And Moses got angry. And by the way, I'd get angry if I found out some of y'all's out dancing. Say amen right there. Amen. He said Billy Sunday used to say that a praying knee and a dancing leg don't, or dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Amen. And I believe that's true. But anyway, Moses got angry that they were out there dancing. He is angry at the sin of the people. He is angry at the golden calf. He was angry at Aaron for allowing them to have the golden calf. And not only was Moses angry, Moses threw the tablet down and broke the tablet. But not only was Moses angry, God was angry. Amen. God was angry, and God began to send judgment on the people of Israel. And Moses, in chapter number 33, Moses went into the tabernacle to call on God. Moses went in, as we would say, in the house of God, to get alone with God, to spend some time with God, and to pray for mercy upon the people. Amen. And I'd ask you to pray for me, that God would help me to be more of a man of prayer for my people. Amen. And God would help. We need that. We need preachers that are praying for the people, not just letting them have it, not just telling them, amen, but actually praying for them, caring about them, and being concerned about them. Amen. And pray that God would help me do that even more. But Moses began to pray for mercy. I've said it before. It's interesting that Moses would get mad and God would have mercy. And then God got mad and Moses pleaded for mercy. If the two of them could ever got on the same page, they'd have wiped Israel out. Amen. And amen. But it's interesting how that God allowed Moses to pray for mercy. And so we come to this request. And I believe this is a great request as Moses is praying about it. And he said, Lord, if you're not going up with us. And I think Brother Steve mentioned a couple of weeks ago in his Sunday school. And it made the thought come to me. Moses said, if you're not going with us, don't even let us go up. We don't want to go without you. Amen. We don't want to go up without you. And so that's the case here. Moses is asking God to go with him. Now here's what Moses knew. He knew that God would not be in the camp when sin was in the camp. He knew that sin in the camp would hinder God from working in the camp like God wanted to. So God, what Moses is saying to them, he's saying to God, Lord, I want you in the camp. We're going to deal with this sin. And Moses did. You know that very well. Amen. Moses took that idol and ground it up and strewed it on the water and made him drink. Amen. I like that. Somebody said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But Moses made him drink. Amen. He made him drink that stuff up. Amen. That bitter water. And thank God he did. Amen. But as I look at this, Moses is asking God to go with us. God, we want you in the camp. And God said, I'll send an angel. Moses said, that's not good enough. I don't just want an angel. I want the presence of God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, we need a visitation. We don't just need a few drops. We need showers of blessing. Amen. We need God to pour it out. Amen. By the buckets full. We need the very presence of God, not just a heavenly messenger. We need God himself in our midst. Amen. We need God in our home. Amen. We need God in our business life. We need God in our marriage. I could go through over and over and over all kinds of things that we could talk about that we need God. Amen. Not just a little. We need the presence, the very presence of God in our midst. So Moses was praying this intercessory prayer. He's begging God, don't leave us alone in this wilderness. He's begging God, God, you go ahead of us and you lead us and show us the way that we might go to the promised land. Amen. And so in confirmation to the fact that God had truly heard his prayer, God said, I've heard you. Moses said, I want confirmation on that. And that Moses was not being arrogant. Moses was not stepping out of bounds and doing that. He was just saying, Lord, I need to see something. I need something for myself. I've asked this for them. And if you're going to do this for them, here's what I want you to do for me. He said in verse number 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. He said, God, I want to see your glory. Now, he'd been up on the mountain. He saw the law of God, but the law of God's not the glory of God. Amen. He saw the fire burning and heard the thunder rolling and the lightning flashing and all that. The power of God, but the power of God's not the glory of God. Obviously not. Moses said, I want to see your glory. Amen. Now, I say that's no small prayer request. That's a big thing Moses asked for. It's a big thing. Amen. It's a monumental request. Matter of fact, Charles Spurgeon said this about it. I wrote this quote down It's a lengthy quote, which is really good. He said, why, it is the greatest petition that man ever asked of God. That's what Spurgeon said about Moses' prayer request. He said, it is the greatest petition that man ever asked of God. It seems to me the greatest stretch of faith that I've ever heard or read of. It was great faith that made Abraham go into the plain to offer up intercession for a guilty city like Sodom. It was vast faith that enabled Jacob to grasp and wrestle with the angel. It was mighty faith that made Elijah rend the heavens and fetch down rain from the skies that had been brass before. But it appears to me that this prayer contains a greater amount of faith than all the others put together. Spurgeon said, it is the greatest request that man could make of God. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. The greatest request that man could ever ask of God. Boy, I wish God would show us his glory right here at the closing days of 2020. I wish God would show us his glory right here in the beginning days of 2021. Amen. That God would just move forth in power and show us his glory. Spurgeon said this is a great request. Spurgeon said it takes great faith to ask such a request. I asked the question, where did Moses muster up that kind of faith? Where did Moses gain that kind of faith that would be great enough faith to ask God to let him see him? And I believe the answer to that is the fact that Moses just spent 40 days and 40 nights in sweet communion with God. Moses had drawn nigh to God. God had drawn nigh to Moses. Amen. And Moses had enjoyed being on the mountain and talking to God. One place it said they spoke as face to face. We recognize that no man can see him. But what it's saying is that God spoke plainly to Moses. Moses saw what God was saying plainly. Amen. But Moses was saying, I need more than just your word. And that is a dangerous thing to say. But by the way, we learn that our faith grows by hearing the word of God. Amen. And Moses had spent that time hearing the word of God and the voice of God and thinking on those things. And I believe it had gained him the faith that he would need and had strengthened his faith mightily. Amen. And I say to you and I believe that it would help us if we'd commune with God, we'd spend time talking to God, let God speak to us. It would increase our faith as well. Amen. Maybe the Lord might say to you and I sometimes, why are ye of such little faith? And the answer probably would be because we've not spent much time with God, not spent much time in the Word, not spent much time in prayer, not spent much time in secret. Amen. Perhaps one of the reasons we have such an anemic faith is we have an anemic fellowship with God. Amen. As I was working on this, I thought about Sister Dorothy Holliday. Sister Holliday apparently had great faith. And here's what I thought about it. Probably one of the things that helped her do that, she'd been alone for years. Her husband died many years ago. She'd been a widow for many years. Her daughter had married. One other daughter had passed away. Her other daughter had married. And they hadn't been right there with her very much. She'd been alone a lot. But Miss Holliday hadn't spent that time alone. She'd spent that time alone with God. Amen. And by being alone with God, she'd gained faith to believe that God could do just anything that he wanted to do. Amen. God help us to spend time with God, communing with him. Amen. And learning more from him. Amen. Well, this is a massive subject to deal with today. I have a short time to deal with it. Not going to have time to say all that probably could be said, should be said. Let me give you 3 points real quick that I want to show you in these verses. Verse 19 down through verse 23. And I want you to notice a gracious manifestation. And I want to point out a gracious concealment and a gracious shielding. Those last two go together. A gracious manifestation, God showing something, and then a gracious concealment, God not showing what they didn't need to see, and then a gracious shielding and the protection that is involved in that. First of all, the gracious manifestation is found in verse number 19 of Genesis or Exodus chapter number 33. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Amen. Now, Grace. I was amazed when I read this text how many times the word grace, 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 grace appears in our text. Moses talks about finding grace. God said, you found grace. Grace. And it's grace that caused God not to rebuke Moses when Moses asked to see God more clearly. By the way, it is grace that doesn't send us home empty when we go seeking after God. It's grace that doesn't rebuke us when we come to the altar asking for help from God. It's grace that doesn't send us away and say, I have nothing to do with you, but it's grace that welcomes us, thank God, into the very presence of God. Amen. The very grace of God allows us to have a desire for the things of God. Amen. It is grace from God. And by the way, God doesn't rebuke people that seek in Him. Amen. God doesn't rebuke people for seeking Him. Actually, God encourages people to seek Him. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, for they shall be filled. Amen. The idea in that is that He doesn't turn anybody away. Amen. He didn't say some of them will be filled. He didn't say some of them will get a little bit and others will get more. No, He said you can have all you want if you'll just seek after God. Amen. God does not send us away packing. Amen. Amen. Now, I ask this question, the question to us, you and I, do we have this desire? Do we have a desire to see God? Do we long to see God working in His power? Do we long to see God manifesting His deity in our presence? Do we long for that? Or listen, if we're not careful, we get caught up in all kinds of things and we just, well, just go to church, just go to church, just go back to work, just go back home, just go back to church and nothing's going to happen. No, we ought to long to see God in the services. Long to hear God in the sermons. Amen. I want to long to meet with God and God manifest His deity in our presence. Amen. In our homes, in our churches. Amen. In our community, in our nation, we need God to move. Amen. Amen. Do we actually hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do we pray for God to make bare His mighty arm and show His great power in this last day we're living in? Amen. We ought to pray for that. We ought to pray for that. I can't help but think, Brother Hall, that old recording we used to listen to, Duncan Campbell, and telling about that man praying for God to pour out the waters. Amen. He said, Lord, You promised to pour water on the thirsty. God, help us to get a hunger that would cause us to call on God and say, Lord, that's what I want. That's what we need. We're begging You to show Your mercy. Lord, show me Your glory. Just show me Your glory again. Amen. I find it interesting that Moses did not see the similitude of God. He didn't see a body pass by him when he was hiding in the mount. Rather, he only saw an attribute of God. And God said, I'm going to let all my goodness pass by thee. Amen. The goodness of God. I've touched on this before in other sermons. You think of all the things that God could have allowed to pass by. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But God help us have a desire. Look back. By the way, here's what Moses saw. God said, I'm going to pass by and let you see my hinder parts. You know what God's saying? God said, if you'll look in the past, you'll see the goodness of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. What was it brought us here? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God got us through this COVID year. Amen. It's the grace of God kept our families together. Amen. It's the grace of God kept our church intact. It's the grace of God that we're able to gather in on a Sunday morning and worship a true and living God. Amen. It's the grace of God that we're able to have the King James Bible and we're able to preach from it and learn from it in these days. Amen. It's the grace of God. So if you look in the past and here we are at the end of the year, we ought to look back. I'm telling you, you can see grace in January. You can see grace in February. You can see grace in March and right on down through the line. You'll see goodness from God. Amen. It's the goodness of God that we see. God's good. Amen. God is good. Amen. He's good all the time. Somebody said that is true. Amen. So we ought to ask God to let us recognize the goodness that's passed by our way. Amen. He's done it again. Brought us through troubles, trials, and unique difficulties. And yet He spared us. Amen. In this year, He saved sinners from their sin. He's delivered people from temptations. Amen. In this year, God's done mighty and wonderful things in this year. Amen. We can look back and say, He's good. Amen. We can see He's manifested His goodness again and again. Amen. Now, in this point, this is my main point, the gracious manifestation. There's two things, in a sense, that He saw. They're wrapped up in one. God said, I'll let my goodness show. But look at verse number 19 again. He sees God's goodness and He sees God's graciousness. Again, they're tied, and there's no separating of them. But He said in verse number 19, the first part of that, and He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. All my goodness pass before thee. Notice that Moses had said, show me thy glory. Moses didn't say, show me thy goodness. Moses asked, God, I want to see your glory. What do you glory in? What makes God happy? It makes God happy to be good. Amen. Amen. It gives God glory to be good. It makes God smile to be good. Now, he's just having to spank his children, but no parent loves to discipline their child. You know what we love? We love to be good to people. Amen. We say it every year at Christmas, and we mean it. Most of the time we do anyway. Most mature people mean that we're not there to get presents. We enjoy seeing the children open their presents. Amen. We enjoy seeing the smile on their face. And we'd be happy if we didn't get a thing as long as we got to see the happiness that's there. Amen. One man said to me years ago, he's talking about the joy of the difference in grandparenting and parenting. He said that he believed, and I think he's right. I realized this when our daughter had our first grandchild. And he said that when that baby's born in the world and they hand that baby to your child, you see your child being blessed by their child, and it just multiplies the blessings. Amen. You're just receiving interest on the blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'll stop right here and say, time out a minute. Congratulations to Ricky Junior and Miss Helen, amen. I understand they announced that they're expecting. Praise God, amen. And so congratulations on that, amen. God's good, ain't he, amen. But when you see that little child, that blesses you. Here's my point. God's blessed by being good to people. We're blessed when we see people being happy, amen. And when we're good to people, it blesses us as well, amen. God said, I'm going to show you my glory. Well, Moses said, show me thy glory. God said, I'll let my goodness pass. God could have shown Moses his justice. I'm glad we got a just God. I'm glad there won't be any thieves or drunkards or sodomites in heaven. Say amen right there. I'm glad there won't be any adultery in heaven. Amen. I'm glad there won't be any car bombing in heaven. Amen. I'm glad a lot of things that we have to put up with in this world won't be in heaven. Amen. Or it wouldn't be in heaven if it was. Amen. He could have shown his justice. I'm glad God's just. But that's not his glory. He could have shown his wrath. God, the power of God wiping out nations. And God could have shown him that power and his wrath, but he didn't. God could have shown him his holiness. Amen. What a wonderful thing that is. But that's not what God showed him. Amen. God could have shown him his power. But to see God's glory, we must first see his goodness. Amen. The glory, write this down. The glory of God is his goodness. When Moses said, show me thy glory, God's answer was, I'll show you all my goodness. I'll let all my goodness pass by thee. And that's seeing the glory of God. Amen. Amen. The glory of God is his goodness. I wrote these things down. To truly see God in creation, you see his goodness. Amen. At the way God made animals and the way God made mountains and the way God made the oceans, you just see the goodness of God. Amen. God, listen, God could have let us, man, have been planted on the moon. With no trees, No rivers, no flowers, but in His goodness, He gave us a beautiful... So when you see God in creation, in reality, you see His goodness. Number two, when you see God in His Christ, amen, you see His goodness. Number three, when you see God at Calvary, you see His goodness. Amen. The goodness of God that created the world, the goodness of God that gave His Son, the goodness of God that gave His life, amen, for sinners, amen. If we see God in the Scriptures, we see His goodness. If we see God in a song, we see His goodness. If we see God in a sermon, we see His goodness. Everywhere you look to see God, you see His goodness. Amen. Then there's a second thing. Not only He said, I'll show you my goodness, but look at verse 19, latter phrase. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. If you notice verse number 19, there's a colon. He says, there's a semicolon. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, semicolon, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Some commentators believe that that phrase, will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy, and that phrase is the name of God. God said, I'm an equitable God. I'm God all by myself. I'm the God that makes the choices. I'm the God that makes the decisions. I'm the Almighty God. I'm the all-powerful God. I'm the sovereign God, if you want to say it that way. Amen. God's the God that makes the choices. That's what He said. And God's choice is mercy and grace. Amen. Amen. Notice God had been angry at Israel and had right to be. And yet in the midst of wrath, God remembered mercy. Amen. In the midst of His anger, God still got mercy and grace. God declared it is His choice to do what He wants to do. He can be gracious to whom He wants to. He can show mercy to whom He wants to. Or it is implied that He can show judgment and wrath to whom He wants to. Amen. He has the right to do as He pleases. Amen. But notice this. It's not God's wish to show forth wrath and judgment. It's not God's wish to show forth anger. It's God's wish to show forth grace and mercy. Amen. That is His desire, to show forth grace and mercy. Amen. Now, here's what I thought about. There are some people that tend to believe, or they seem to believe, that they can live as they please, do as they want to, and that God's goodness will keep them out of hell. They make statements like this. They say, I just don't believe that a good God will send people to hell. Well, it wouldn't be a good God that let sinners into heaven. I've already touched on it. Amen. I've touched on it. It wouldn't be heaven if God let everything in there. Amen. There's got to be some restrictions. God has declared that it is His will that men come in repentance. That it is His will that men come in believing Him. Amen. In faith. That they come to God. Amen. God has chosen, God has declared that man to come to God must come in repentance and in faith. He must come turning from their sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way they can come to God, or else they will go to hell. It's not the goodness of God sending them to hell. It's the goodness of God that gives them an option to stay out of hell. Amen. It's the badness of men that caused them to go on their way to hell. It's the wickedness of men that caused them to reject the Savior. It's the wickedness of men to say, I'm not turning loose of my sin. It's the wickedness of men that caused them to love their sin and hang on to their sin right and ride it into hell. It's the wickedness of men. Amen. Amen. God made the rules. And even He is going to go by those rules. Amen. God loves mankind. I understand that. He's made a way that whosoever will may come to Him, may be saved. But God is too holy, God is too just to allow His goodness to pardon unrepentant and unbelieving sinners. Amen. Now I say this, God is sovereign. I believe that. You can't see, you can't get a proper picture of God without seeing both His sovereignty and His grace. Or I'll say His sovereignty and His goodness. You have to. You have to see both of them. Amen. If you fail to see God as sovereign, you just see His goodness, you'll think God's a pushover. Just anything can go on. Amen. Likewise, if all you see is the sovereignty of God, don't see the grace of God, you'll think God picks and chooses some to go to heaven and others to go to hell. When in reality, God's a gracious God that made that option out there. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the scriptures. Amen. Amen. And so here's what I'm saying. God's not an overbearing despot that's just wanting to send people to hell. Matter of fact, He wants to show goodness. He wants to show mercy. He wants to show grace. But God will not force a man to believe against his will. Amen. Amen. God will offer them the truth. God will offer them His goodness. And by the way, His goodness will lead them to repentance. Amen. But if they refuse to believe the gospel, and they refuse to repent, they choose to die in their sin. They choose it. And when they die, their blood will be on their own heads. Amen. Or blood on their own hands, however you want to say it. There's the gracious manifestation. God shows that out. And then number two, there's the gracious concealment. Verse number 20. Gracious concealment. Look at verse 20. And He said, "Thou canst not see My face, for there shall no man see Me and live." God said, "I have to conceal something from you, Moses. I know you want to see Me, but I'm so powerful that you can't indulge in all of it. You can't wrap your arms around all of it." Amen. It's like, I remember several years ago, I was working in drywall. We was doing a job up in Boone, North Carolina, and there's snow on the ground. It's cold, and they had temporary power run there, and we got the space heater out one morning. It was before daylight. We got there before daylight so we could get it warmed up, hopefully go to spreading mud, you know, on up in the day. And we had some we was going to hang and then start spreading mud. We want to get it all warmed up. And we're in there, and one of the helpers, I was just a helper at the time, another one of the helpers went and plugged the space heater up. But he plugged it up to 220. And that space heater, it heated like crazy for about 2 seconds. And it was done. You know what happened? There's too much power for that thing to handle. That's what God said about Moses. "Moses, you want to see Me, but there's too much there for you to handle. You can't." And by the way, these people think they got God figured out. They got a hold of 220 and they ain't made to handle 220. Amen. They can't handle it. Amen. They can't handle it. I can't handle it. I can't say, I'm not saying I got all this stuff figured out. I got it all mapped out and planned. No, God's too big for us to see all of God. Amen. There's some things concealed from us that we can't know. Amen. It's beyond our knowledge. It's beyond our understanding. Amen. And we can't see all those things. And so God said to Moses, "You can't look on My face." Can I say to you, it was grace that concealed the face of God from Moses. It would have killed Moses instantly if he'd seen the face of God. Amen. There's some things in our life we say, "Lord, I wish I understood that." And God says, "No, it's better off that you don't." Amen. Some things in life we may get a little bit upset. We may get a little bit anxious or a little bit impatient, thinking that why is God withholding that information from me? Or why is God withholding that particular thing from me? God may very well be concealing it for your own good. Amen. Maybe just His grace sparing you from those things you don't need to look upon. Amen. God has good reason to hide some things from us. Amen. There's some things we don't need to see face to face. You look back over this past year. You think about all the things that God graciously concealed from you and I. Amen. Only brought it to light at the proper time. Amen. God's good. God deserves glory and praise for His graciousness in concealing some things from us. Amen. I'll touch this point and I'll get to my last one. I remember a young man back in North Carolina, he's actually a first cousin to me. He got to seeking after God. He'd lived a very loose life in the past. He'd been a sinner, made profession, later got saved by the grace of God. He got to seeking after God. When he really got serious with God, started having family altar, started trying to lead his family in a way, and he'd let them run wild. By the way, he'd waited too long to try to rein them in. Don't wait too long. Amen. Don't wait too long. He waited too long to try to rein them in, and some little bit later, things started coming to light. Things started showing up about some sin that was in his home that he was unaware of. One thing after another. One day he came over to my house weeping. He said to me, he said, "Brother Farrell, I don't understand." He said, "When I started asking God to help me and I started getting serious with God," he said, "all these problems started appearing." And here's what I said to him. I said, "Martin, it's just like you walking through your living room with no lights on." I said, "You flip the light on and there's a couch. It didn't just happen to be there. It was there all along. You just didn't see it." And I said, "That sin in your home was there. But when you started seeking God, God turned the light on." Amen. That's what He'll do for me and you. Amen. Amen. But some of those things that are concealed, thank God that they are. And God in His proper time will turn the light on those things. Amen. There is a graciousness of God that manifests Himself. And there's a graciousness of God that conceals some things from us. And He deserves glory even for those things that are concealed. Amen. And then there's the gracious shielding, and that ties right in with that concealing and shielding because of this. But look at verse number 20. "And he said," this is still God speaking, "and he said, thou canst not see my face." That's verse 20. Let me jump down to 21. "And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me." Woo, God just happened to have a place right there for Moses. "And there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." God said to Moses, I've got to hide some things from you, but I've got a hiding place for you. I've got a place you can get that I can cover you just how you need to be covered, and you can see just what you need to see. Amen. God said there is a place by me. He said there is a rock on which you can stand. There is a cutout place in that rock in which you can hide. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, "I've got a standing place and I've got a hiding place." Amen. Don't you think He's talking about Jesus? Amen. We wouldn't have, as they say, a leg to stand on. But thank God, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Amen. Amen. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And thank God that rock was riven for you and I. There's a cleft of the rock. Amen. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Thank God for Jesus, our riven rock. Amen. In Jesus we can hide. In Jesus we can find a standing place where we can see God. Amen. I'll say this. He said there's a rock by me. That rock is riven. He called it a cliff. Today's language, that would be with an E, a cleft of the rock. Not a cliff like we think with two F's, C-L-I-F-F. A jumping off, no, it's not a jumping off place. It's a hiding place. Amen. By the way, faith is really not just a leap in the dark. Faith is not just jumping off a cliff. Faith is hiding in the grace of God. Amen. Faith is standing on the solid rock of God's Word and hiding, wrapping yourself in the promise of God. Hiding, amen, in the promise of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, here's, I'm thinking about that. You know where our rock was riven, don't you? It's on Calvary. For a man or woman, a boy or girl, for anybody to ever see God, they need a hiding place. You know how they're going to have to see Him? They're going to have to go to Calvary. Spiritually, they're going to have to go to Calvary. They're going to have to see our rock. Amen. Not just our rock in His firmness, our rock in His stand, but they're going to have to see our rock in His favor, our rock in His giving of Himself as the Savior for mankind. They're going to have to see our rock as He is riven, amen, as He is pierced. They're going to have to see our rock as He bleeds and dies for the souls of men, amen. Take a trip up to Calvary. Look upon the God-man pierced for our sins. Amen. All our hopes of ever seeing an omnipotent, omnipresent, holy God is from our hiding place in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there's coming a day when men without Christ are going to have to look upon God. They're going to come face to face with God one day. Brother Steve touched on it at Sunday school this morning. God knows everything we've done, even if nobody else ever knows. He mentioned about that preacher that's dirt's come out on him lately. By the way, that's what happened when Ehud stabbed Eglon and the shaft went in and the fat closing around. The Bible said the dirt came out. And one preacher said, the dirt's going to come out on you one day, big boy. Well, that's true, ain't it? The dirt comes out. And he said this dirt had come out on this fella and people's finding out. Well, I'm telling you, God knew all along. And God knows about me and you. And God knows about the sinner and all the things they're hiding behind. All the false things they're putting up. All the lies they're telling. All the deception they're doing is not hiding them from an all-seeing God. One day they're going to stand before God without a hiding place. One day they're going to stand before God without a standing place. The heavens and the earth are going to flee away. And they're going to face God face to face with no rock to stand on. Because they've rejected the Son of God. But today we have the same option Moses did. If you'll just say, Lord, I want to see your glory. You know what God will say? The only way is come to the rock. The only way is to slip up by me and hide in the riven rock. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. As God spoke to you this morning, and as we give an invitation time, if you need to come, if you need to move, if the Lord spoke to you, would you come? Would you obey the Lord? Do you need to come pray? You need to come pray. When we come together in the house of God, we ought to ask God, Lord, let us see your presence. Lord, let somebody get hungry for thee. Lord, let somebody see the rock. Let somebody find the hiding place. Let somebody see your goodness one more time. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd do it this morning. I pray you'd draw sinners and saints alike. Lord, that you'd draw us close to thy side. You'd draw nigh to us, and we'd draw nigh to you, Lord, we pray. Bless in this invitation time. Help sinners to believe and repent and be saved by the goodness of God. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. We ask it all. Amen and amen. We're going to sing as we do. The Lord spoke to you. Do you need to come?